Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Morning, 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 church. How are we this morning? You good? Come on. Hey, before you take a seat, why don't we just pray? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that we, your people, as we gather today, you have something you want to say to us. Lord, as we've gathered to give our praise and our best worship and our best offerings today, Lord God, that in response to your people, as you say, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I thank you, God, that as we lean in today, your word has something to say to each and every single one of us. So God, would you open our ears to hear? Would you open our eyes to see? And would you come and move in our hearts? In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, why don't you high five the person next to you as you take your seat this morning. Come on. All right. I'm actually just going to take a quick moment. Just Joshua, are you in the room? You were in the team in worship. Are you in the room? Up the back. There you are behind the camera. Sorry, mate. Hey, I just wanted to just give you a word of a whisper that the Lord gave to me as you were in worship today. There was a moment in worship where the Lord just accelerated the volume of your voice. And I literally saw a moment open up and there was almost like a moment open up where there was a doorway for you to walk through. And it was an opportunity for you to lean in. And I just literally saw the door fling open before you and just you had the opportunity to lean into something that the Lord is doing. And he's about to amplify your voice. He's about to amplify your voice in the workplace. He's about to amplify your voice in the spaces and places where you've gone into where you feel like your voice doesn't matter, where you feel like your voice has been a minimal volume. The Lord's about to raise it up. And he says, you don't have to do anything to turn yourself up. You just have to walk through the door when I open it. So God, I thank you for Joshua. I thank you for the gift that he is and the gift that you have given to him, both in voice, in word, and in song. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would increase the volume of his voice in his workplace, in his friendships, in the places he goes to, the cafes he sits in, the people he meets, the hairdresser he converses with, or the barber. Lord, I'm praying right now, Lord, would you amplify his voice to bring glory and honor to your name and your name alone, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Come on, who loves it when the Lord speaks? Such an encouragement. But you know what? The Lord has a word for each and every single one of you today. I'm so excited to share with you this word that the Lord has deposited in my heart. It's taken me back to a couple of my childhood favorite moments and just different things as I've sat with the Lord on this. And some of you may be able to relate to something I'm about to share with you, but for some of you, you're going to come on the journey and you're going to have a whole heap of fun. Is that okay? All right, so I was reading through the word, and we're going to turn to that in a minute in Mark chapter 4. If you want to put your finger in that spot, you can get that ready. But I was reading this word, and this echoing song came back into my heart, and so did this thought. Have you ever heard the phrase, well, if you were in my boat, and maybe you heard the phrase, well, if you were in my shoes? Today, I want to talk to you about this idea of Jesus in my boat. Now, for those who have been around for a long time, and maybe I'm giving away my age, but maybe you grew up in kids' church and you got to hear some of the songs around this. Does anyone remember this song? I'm going to butcher it for sure. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Does anyone remember this? Okay, come on, there's a couple of hands going up. All right, you have to join with me with strength in your vocal cords on this one. All right, with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing, boom. Sailing, sailing on, sailing, sailing home with Christ in my... I can smile at the storm. Smile. Oh, sailing home. All right. It's a really funny song because you would get into the song as kids and then you'd have to mute the words, but you'd have to do the actions. And you could see my brain trying to compute which word I was up to, you know. But the idea of that song we were taught from this passage of Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through to 41. It's the story of Jesus and the disciples. They finished some teaching on parables, and Jesus literally says to them, come on boys, we're going across the other side. Let's have a look at this passage of scripture together as we read it. It'll be on the screens for you. It says this, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, now let us cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other boats were also with him. And then a great windstorm arose and the waves beat down on the boat so that it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? You know, it's really interesting when I sing that song, with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. I can give mental assent to that and sing, yes, amen, hallelujah. Is anyone else with me? You give mental assent to it and be like, yes, of course. But have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever had a moment or a season where you are battered, where you are beaten, where you are taking on water and you're like, my ship is sinking? I think sometimes we have an ideal in mind, but sometimes our reality, when we are confronted with a storm or when we're confronted with life and its challenges, we're perplexed. And we wonder sometimes, is Christ actually in my vessel? You know, maybe for you, it's your business. Maybe you came into the start of a new year and you're expecting and then something happened. Maybe it was your marriage. Or maybe it's been your kids. Or maybe even it's the unknown nature of the future that is ahead of you. When storms happen, what happens in our worlds? See, the disciples were professionals in this story. They weren't just like a couple of guys that just got on a boat and decided to follow Jesus because he knew what he was doing. They were professionals. They understood what the sea was doing. They understood the wind and the waves. They understood what was happening in this moment. And I think that you and I sometimes can be like, you know what? I'm the professional here. I've got this thing worked out. You don't know what it's like to be in my boat or in my shoes. Hello? Somebody say, Jesus in my boat. You know, it's crazy that the disciples in this moment find themselves in a situation that they are professionals and understand that it is a dire straits situation, that it is an impending doom that is upon them. And this noise of the wind and the waves echoes in what we understand and to know as a fear. If you've ever been there, you know what fear does. Fear can cause three different responses. It can cause a fight response. I'm going to try and fight my way through this. I'm going to try and strive my way to get to that moment, to get to that place or that space or that which is meant to be. And we step into striving out of fear. The disciples are bailing out water. They're like trying to do everything that they can in this moment, depending on their professionalism, depending on what they know. They're out working. And then some of them probably were sitting on that boat going, oh, I want a flight. What that means is I want to escape. I want to get out of this boat. Somebody get me back on land. I think it'd be better. I've got a better chance if I just get out of the boat. Have you ever been there? My marriage, I might as well just get out. Some of us enter into striving, and some of us enter into this idea where we are completely paralyzed by fear. But you know what? We know that Jesus can stop the storms. Hello? We read it, we know it, we hear it, and we're like, yes, Jesus can stop the storms. But what if he doesn't? What when he doesn't? Is he still God? Is he still all powerful? Church, can I suggest to you and I today that in 2026, this year for you, your family, your business, your kids, your marriage, and all the different components that make up your life, the Lord is calling us as a church and as a people and individuals into greater levels of trust. Greater levels of trust where we recognize with Christ in our vessel, we can actually smile at the storms. Because friends, when he doesn't calm the storms in our lives, we need to recognize that he's still in our boat. See, the disciples didn't recognize or realize who they had in their boat. But it was the storm that revealed it. They had the Creator, the Son of God, in their boat that when he gets up and speaks to a storm, it can stop in a moment. But their reality of that didn't come to pass until they actually were in the midst of a storm. It was a storm that revealed it. Poke the person next to you and say, Jesus is in my boat. Jesus is in my boat. I'm telling you, friends, storms are going to come and go in this life. But I'm telling you right now, it says in verse 38 that Jesus was in the stern of the boat. And in the stern of the boat, it says that he was on a pillow. The disciples are bailing water out, freaking out, having their moment of absolute chaos. But Jesus, he's in a place of like just pure comfort. Just rolling with it. My question to us today is, when Jesus is in our boat, do we lean towards comfort or do we lean towards chaos? Because this year is going to throw, as every other year does, many challenges at you. But the question is not whether he's in your boat. The question is it comfort, trust, or is it chaos in trying to control and trying to strive or escape? I believe that there's a great invitation for us today to choose to sit not only with Jesus in our boat in 2026, but to actually lean in to a place that he found himself in that boat. See, Jesus was not disturbed by the storm. He was not disturbed by it in any way, form, or shape. He actually slept through it. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear a noise and I wake up. The other night, funny story, my housemate is away, and so it's just me and my dog, and my dog's in the cage, and so, you know, there's no one else moving around. It's just me and my dog, and he's in a cage, and I'm in my bed. And I hear the sound of my front door open. And I'm like, what the heck? It opens, and then it closes. And I'm like, who was that? What was that? At this moment, fear began to rise up within me. What if it's someone breaking in? What if it's somebody who's coming to steal your dog? What if it's someone who's coming, you know, like all the worst fears you could have. One's not the fear just of the dog, just same. But I had this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And then I was like, I thank you, Jesus, there are angels encamped around my house. I thank you, Jesus, there's a bloodline in the front of my door. I thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you are like, did you lock it? No, I didn't. I forgot. But literally, I had to decide, is fear entering through this door and robbing me of my sleep, or am I going to get up and take what I know to be true? I didn't lock the door. The enemy would love to seek, kill, destroy, whatever. But oh my goodness, the enemy is defeated. The Lord has an angels encamped around my house. There is a bloodline across the front of my door. I got up and I walked out and I heard the sound of a lift. And I thought, ooh, and I think someone on another flight of stairs in the same room number may have come home a little intoxicated and walked in and went, oh, that's not my house, and walked out. Yes, Erin, I will lock the house in future reference. But you know, it just didn't disturb Jesus when the storm came. He slept it out. And I had a decision to make in that moment. I'm going to sleep this out, or am I going to let the enemy try to rob me of my peace in my own home? Some of you need to become more aware of Jesus in your boat. Some of you need today to not only become aware that Jesus is in your boat, but that you have the living God inside of you. You have the Word of God dwelling within you. But what are you going to do with it? See, Jesus was not intimidated by this storm. He just got up and he spoke to it. And in that moment, as I stood in my room and I prayed and declared that the angels were encamped around my house and declared the bloodline of Jesus, I got up and I turned the light on. I opened the door, found out it was just someone who walked in accidentally. I snipped that thing. I went back to sleep. Straight out. Actually, my friends laugh at me because I literally put my head down and I'm gone. Anyone else like that? Just like anywhere. You can sleep anywhere. As long as your head's down, your eyes are closed, you're good. I made a decision. I'm not letting the enemy rob me of my sleep. I'm not letting the enemy rob me of anything. I will not be intimidated. I will speak to it in Jesus' name. Well, Jesus was not deterred by this storm either. He talks to the boys and is like, boys, what? He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, the reality of this situation is that Jesus actually said to them, we're going across the other side. He had purpose and intent in what he was doing, and nothing was about to deter that. Sometimes I think that we think that, oh, a storm rose up and now it's going to wash me off course. I'm going to end up, But no. Nothing deters what God wants to outwork in our lives. When we choose to lean in and say, hey, you know what? I trust the purposes of God in the midst of this storm. Isaiah 26 was a passage of the Lord spoke to me about as the start of a new year for 2026. And this is the passage of scripture. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Woo. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Friends, when we see Jesus in this storm, he's asleep and there's peace. And there is such a thing the Bible calls as perfect peace. Not partial peace, not a small portion of peace, but perfect peace. The perfect peace of God is available to you and to I. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. You know, there's confidence in that. When our eyes and our mind is fixed on him, why? Because he trusts in you. I believe the Lord is calling us in 2026 to greater levels of trust in God. Not trust in our circumstances, not trust in people, not trust in promises, not trust in prophetic words, not trust in even propositions. No. Trust in him. Trust is this bridge between fear and peace, and we have the opportunity to choose comfort or chaos. See, trust is defined in the Hebrew as the word, it's batah, and it means to trust in. It's a verb. It's a trust, to trust in, to have confidence and to be bold and secure. Whoo! Trust asks the question, but what if, not what if, like, but what if this, what if that? No, trust asks the question, Who is Jesus and what did he say? Who is Jesus and what did he say? Because when he said in verse 35, come on boys, we're going across the other side, that was the word. That was the spoken word. And it's what trust causes in us as it grows and develops in us. When he says, we're going to the other side, I go, okay, I'm calm. I'm confident. I have a consistent contentment. And I have a courageous commitment because he said. See, sometimes we actually need to remember who is the creator of heaven and earth, who is the Son of God, Jesus, who is in our lives, in our boats. See, sometimes I think like this. You know, I got in a plane and I fly regularly over to the States to see friends, and I don't do really well with things like, what do they call it? Turbulence. I don't do well with turbulence. I don't do well with the idea of bouncing in this tin in the middle of the sky. I don't do well with it. But you know what's really interesting is that when you come up from the ground and you come up into the heavenlies in a plane, all of a sudden you get to see actually the God of the universe, the creator, is actually above the storms. He's actually above that would seek to shake you. He's above that would seek to derail you. And so sometimes we get stuck sitting under in our earthly perspective when Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says to us, set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. Set it above, which means that you and I, the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places with him. What does that mean? It means that you and I have to remember, zoom out. The storm is not the end of the world. The storm is not the end of the story. The storm is not done. Because he said, we're going to the other side. So zoom out, take your heavenly place, take your heavenly seat and recognize the call to sit above and not below. Ooh. See, trust, I'm telling you right now, is not just it's not the absence of questions. It's not the absence of questions. When stuff is going on and the storms are hitting and the waves are battering down on you, it is not the absence of questions, but it's the trust in his character. It's the trust in who he says. It is the confidence of knowing he is not a man that he should lie, that he is God. And maybe in this storm, the Lord might not silence it, quieten it, put it aside, but he may call you to come up above it and conquer it. He may actually call you to ride the storm out so you can actually discover who Jesus is in the midst of it. Because when those disciples recognized that Jesus calmed the storm in that moment, they were like, whoa, who are you? Who are you? See, sometimes it's not even about quietening the storm, it's about quietening our heart and quietening our mind. To discover who he is in the midst of our storms. The storms come and go, and they can happen in anyone's life, one's marriage, one's business, one's family, one's ministry, one's work life, one's space and place. It's just because you're a Christian, it doesn't remove you from trouble. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't remove you from trials. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't remove you from storms. Because you might set your mind on heavenly things, but you've got to ride out the natural in this body down here on earth. Or maybe it's a diagnosis from a doctor. Maybe it's something that has just turned your world upside down. Friend, I encourage you to lean in to Jesus being in your boat. But don't just have him as an accessory. Know him. Know his word and ask him questions. Many of you may be familiar with this, but do you know the story of Elizabeth Elliot and Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot was an evangelist, had a real passion to reach into the world of people who don't know Jesus. And he and four other men went on a missionary trip and they were actually killed as a part of the Wandirria warriors. They went in and I had their lives taken from them. But his wife, Elizabeth, was known for making this comment. Trust God in the dark, what you learned in the light. Trust God in the dark of your life, in the worst storm of your life, in the moment where chaos is ruling and reigning, trust what you learned in the light. Friend, she lost her husband in a moment for the purposes in the kingdom of God. And I can't imagine what that would be like to walk through. And maybe you're here today and you've lost a loved one and you know the pain and the grief that is attached to that. Or maybe in your situation that's blown up and it doesn't feel like the storm is going to go. Can I just encourage you with this? Trust when you're in the dark and in the storm what you have learned in the light. Because maybe you're here today and you go, this doesn't relate to me at all. My world's great. Everything's fine. But a friend, I tell you, storms come and go. And you need to know in the light what you have so you can hold to it in the dark. It seems a bit doom and gloom, really. Cherie, this 2026, you want to start here? Friends, I'm telling you, there's a great invitation to trust like no other. Because trust doesn't need certainty, it needs surrender, which only you and I can actually individually outwalk in our lives. See, the disciples got one thing right in this, because it wasn't the absence of questions, but it was the question that they actually called out to Jesus and woke him up in the boat. And some of us could read this passage and be like, oh, Jesus doesn't like it if I doubt or I have questions. No. Jesus is big enough to handle your questions. He's big enough to invite you into another level and confidence and trust in who he is and who he says he is. The one thing that the disciples got right was to go to him, not go to people, to not go to promises of people, to not go to propositions, to not go to plans, to not even depend on a politician. But to actually go to the one who is the creator of heaven and earth, who can change everything. And I can tell you this, trust begins when control ends. Trust begins when control ends, when you and I relinquish control and we surrender to the full purposes of God. I can tell you this, he is God, he is good, and he will show up over and over and over again in our lives as we trust in him. Psalm 20 verse 7 says this, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of our God. Friends, chariots and horses, they're just men and they're flesh. They're not God, they're not the spirit, and both will actually fall. But when we trust in the name of our God, we can know that he will walk us through whatever situation we are faced with. See, the names of God are so super important for you and I to know. Do you know the names of God? Are you aware of his name and the grandiosity of who he is and what the Word of God says he is? I'm going to put it up on social media. I shared it with some of our team earlier. But there are names of God throughout the Bible that speak to us. And I want to suggest this. If you want to go through 2026 and get to the other end with full trust and confidence in him, can I tell you, it starts with knowing his word. It starts with knowing his name. It starts by knowing his character. Because when storms come and go, it's really hard to hold on to the Word of God and be like, what does it say? I'm trying to find a word for today. What does it say? They had 10 children. That's not helpful. Flick to the next one. Oh, they had 9. Wow. They moved. Can I be really honest with you? Storms, you can't get a word in the midst of, and sometimes God's kindness, he'll bring one to you. But if you've got what you need in the light, it'll shine in the darkness. It'll shine and it'll speak and it'll echo. Jehovah, Jireh, our provider. Oh, maybe you need provision of God in your world, in your life, and in your business. He's Jehovah Jireh. get a hold of the scripture, then hold on to it and begin to echo it and speak it out in the midst of the storm. Jehovah Nissi, the banner, the victory of God over your life. Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God in the midst of chaos. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd when I need care. Tezenku, righteousness, who makes me right before a holy God. A Shema, the one who is present in the midst of my storm. A Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Elohim, whoo, mighty one and creator of everything. Adonai, the Lord and Master. Abba, Father. El Roy, the God who sees everything. Oh, I'm telling you right now, when you sense there's an injustice, you need to know that the God of gods sees everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. He is God El Roy, the God who sees. Who do you need God to be in your world in 2026? Who do you need to discover Him to be? Can I tell you, friends, it starts with acknowledging His presence in your boat. It starts with trusting in the name of the Lord and calling out on Him, setting your mind on Him, because your dependence will determine your durability. Your dependence on Him will determine the durability of making it through a storm. And if you know the word of the Lord, you can know this, that the word will always be tested. So get a word from Scripture, get more than a prophetic word. I am not against prophetic words in any way, form, or shape. I actually shared a word of encouragement to Joshua. But I'm telling you right now, if all you hold to is a prophetic word, you are going to go wildly wrong, because a prophetic word will only ever affirm what God's word has said and is saying to you. So get a word from God, hold on to it deeply. Because I tell you, He wants to set you up for a win in your life, but it can't be built on a sandy foundation. It has to be built on the rock of His word. And Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book, the law, always on your lips. You know what that says to me? The next verse says it. It literally says, meditate on it day and night. Because if you meditate on it, it's going to be on your lips. If you meditate on it, it's going to be on your lips. You know, some people talk to me all the time. They're like, Sheree, you seem to be able to remember scripture all like so well. You get to quote that. I want to be like that. Can I tell you? That doesn't happen because God gifted and graced me with a memory. I can tell you that right now. Just ask my friends. It's because I've got the word in me. I meditate on it. I think about it. So that when the enemy comes or when situations rise, I am not just sitting back going, oh, woe is me. I'm in a storm and the boat and the waves and the wind and I'm beaten and I'm broken. And don't get me wrong, because those moments happen emotionally. But I have to align my emotions to what does His word say? What does His word say? Friends, the invitation of the Lord is to imagine what 2026 could look like if you trust Him. If we trust Him in every way. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Key word is home. The key word is home, because with Christ in your vessel, you can be sure of this. Coming home to Him, you find peace, you find confidence, and you find purpose. You leave with the sense of comfort, not the sense of chaos. So acknowledge His presence. He's in your boat. Call out to Him. Don't be intimidated or disturbed by the storms, because they don't intimidate or scare Him. And remember what He said, because He's not deterred in outworking the full purposes of God in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your family, in your ministry, and in this church. We have this confidence of knowing He is who He says He is. And He's in my boat. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is in my boat. Come on. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to pray. Before we pray, I want to share this story with you as an encouragement. Because some of us have been through storms, some of us are going through storms, and some of us are yet to jump into anything that references a storm this year. My friend last year, middle of August, contacted me, said, "Hey, everything's changed in our world. Our world's turned upside down. My husband Luke has been diagnosed with bowel cancer, and he's got 5 to 6 months to live." With that, her whole world was turned upside down, chaos, the kids, chaos. You know what it's like, you get a bad report, everything kind of like whirlwinds around. She went through a process, and unbeliever, I had the opportunity to share with her who Jesus was in the midst of it. And I can actually stand before you today to say that she contacted me last week and said, "Luke has been given the all clear. It is a miracle." And she said, "We're so grateful for you, for your church, for your friends and family who have prayed for us." She said, "We felt the prayers of the people." She's not yet a believer, but she experienced God in the midst of a storm in her life where he showed her just who he is and who he was. The doctors are blown away. They can't understand it. They watch the count come down. It's insane. Like, I've got the whole journey, just text message after text message after text message after scan after PET scan, like all the things. And God has done a miracle. And it's beautiful. It's such an encouragement to remind us that God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. But I know I've got friends in this room today who face battles of cancer, who face things and have lost loved ones and have lost family members. Is God any less God because he didn't show up? No, but he's the God of comfort in the midst of the storm. Friend, God may show up for you in a way that blows your mind away, and I pray that he does. But sometimes we need the comfort of God in the midst of our storms. And I'm praying today that this word would help you to lean in and to trust him and to get to know him more and discover who he says he is and begin to apply it to your life. Because right now I'm about to pray a prayer. And while a prayer is not a magical wand, it invites the supernatural God to invade earth from heaven and to do a work. And for some of you, it'll be in a moment. And for some of you, you're going to need the God of comfort. You're going to need the people of God around you to comfort you and to encourage one another. And so I just ask right now, if you're in the room and you're like, I've got a storm going on. I feel like I'm trapped in a hurricane, tornado. I would love it if you would just raise your hand. And only so that, you know, that God could see and the people around you could just get around you. And actually just put their hand on you and pray for you as we pray. Because I tell you, prayer changes everything. But most of all, it changes us. So if that's you right across the room, would you just stretch up your hand and say, "Yeah, that's me, I've got a storm going on. Maybe it's just a small one, maybe it just doesn't feel like much, but you know, there's a storm happening in your world. Yep, there's hands going up." I would love it, church, if you could get around some of these people who have got their hands raised and just put your hand on them as a point of comfort. Be the extension of the love of God in this moment to someone who needs it. Be the extension of the family of God to someone who right now needs God to intervene, to comfort them, and to see them through the storm, whether it fades away or whether they get to the other side. So God, right now, I thank you for my brothers and sisters and the family of God that are standing right before you now. And I thank you, Jesus, that in the seasons of life, you are consistent. I thank you, Lord, that in the seasons of life, you are the one who brings perfect peace into our worlds. And I thank you right now, God of heaven, as we cry out to you, that you are able and willing to lean in, to bring comfort, to bring change, and to bring health, healing, and wholeness to your people. And so, Lord, right now, I rebuke every medical diagnosis that would have sought to write a history for somebody, and I speak to it in Jesus' name, and I command health and healing to be their portion. I thank you, God, for every business that right now feels like all hell is broken against it. And that God are leaving people asking, oh, if you were in my boat, you were in my boat, that God, you would come and say, hey, I am in your boat. And they would lift their eyes to you. They would set their eyes upon you and find you to be the God of peace. And I thank you, Lord, that literally they can have calm in their hearts even when the storms are raging. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you bring faith? Would you bring hope? Would you bring expectation of what you have said to them in Jesus' name? I thank you for them. I thank you for breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.